and war and so forth. We're born into a culture essentially with an obsolete food orientation. The beauty of the message is that we absolutely can transform our culture.
Learn more from Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet, on The Recovery Zone on KBOO Portland this Wednesday, November 27th from 11 to noon. Your turkey day could well never be the same.
And you are tuned to KBOO Portland. It's 10 o'clock, and this KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Merrillhurst University's five part-time MBA programs designed for adults who are seeking to enhance skills, revitalize career potential, and gain new knowledge that can be applied at work the next day. December 5th, evening information session, details at merrillhurst.edu. Stay tuned now for Flashpoints, 11 o'clock, The Recovery Zone. Oh, one last minute breaking announcement. Teresa will be back to host a special show tomorrow at 8 a.m. That sounds like a talk radio segment. Tune in tomorrow at 8 a.m. for that. Thanks for listening.
On Flashpoints, is the U.S. backpedaling on the recent Iran nuclear agreement? Also, in Santa Rosa, California, young Latinos take to the streets again to protest the recent killing of 13-year-old Andy Lopez by a seasoned sheriff's deputy. And immigrants' rights activists protest ongoing massive deportations. The American Indian movement battles to decolonize the Washington Redskins. That battle continues in San Francisco and around the country. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio, and I am delighted to welcome back to these airwaves and to the Bay Area, Mr. Bill Means, a founder of the American Indian Movement, on the board of the International Treaty Council, and really a terrific friend of this radio network and this show called Flashpoints. Bill Means, welcome to the Bay Area.
Hey, it's good to be back again. We're always glad to come here and work with the esteemed colleagues at the KPFA as well as the Bay Area in general.
Well, that's great. Obviously, there's a lot going on. Sacred ceremonies in Alcatraz. You want to remind people why people gather there and what is at the core of that?
Well, of course, this season we call Thanksgiving. We like to call it Indigenous Peoples Thanksgiving. It will be going and leaving Pier 33, I believe, down on the wharf in San Francisco. At 4 a.m., the first boat. We like people to come early. We'll be having a sunrise ceremony to give thanks, as all Indigenous people and non-Indigenous people usually use this time of year to celebrate the harvest. And, of course, we have many things that are wrong with society. But on the other hand, we have to take a moment to give thanks to the Creator for our life, for those things that provide for us like Mother Earth, and for better human relations, and for those who are struggling with their lives. So it's a great time to show solidarity with the Earth, to come and remember your relatives at a sunrise ceremony. And again, Thursday morning, 4 a.m., Pier 33, San Francisco.
But there's something else going on. Some people sort of call it the battle to decolonize the Washington Redskins. They were playing yesterday. They got their butts beat, and there's something else going on that's bigger than the game. You want to talk about that?
Well, you know, the owner of the Washington football team, his name is Daniel Snyder, a Jewish man who I'm sure has a lot of things to be thankful for this time of year. But he did a strange thing last night. As you know, it was a Monday night football, which is one of the largest audiences in sports throughout the football season. And as well, they were playing the San Francisco 49ers. And so a large Bay Area audience saw at halftime that he brought in four code talkers from the Navajo Nation and gifted them the football team jackets with the logo of the Washington football team on, as if to say these Navajo code talkers fully approve of our use of the most racist caricature and the most racist team mascot name in America. And so it's really kind of up to Annie in the struggle for and against the mascot issue and the stereotype images portrayed by not only professional sports, but all the way down to the high school level, and our ongoing battle to try to bring some type of respect, human respect, to these well-respected and very rich institutions.
Now, this is in the capital of the United States. It has a particular significance that this kind of racism is portrayed in the capital of the United States, where, as I don't have to tell you, that government there, that's not really your government, has broken every treaty they have ever signed. And here we go.
371 treaties have all been passed by the Senate, signed by the President. There's more treaties that weren't passed, but that is the formal process that treaties generally go through. And looking at Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution, while treaties have the supreme law of the land on their side and are, should we say, regarded in the higher context of law, over and supersede state and county and federal law. So it's amazing that there in our nation's capital, we have this racist display of national, international proportions on a Monday Night Football, which is one of the largest audiences in TV, throughout the week. So, it's pretty amazing that the owner, who is Jewish himself and should understand the use of stereotype images and racist portrayal of ethnic groups, he seems to be saying to Indian people, bring it on, we got a war here, I'm not changing the name, which he has stated many times, but we still continue, and we still march on to bring attention. As a matter of fact, we talked about and passed here a resolution to initiate a national campaign again against the Washington football team to renew our efforts. Because as you know, even here in the state of California, from the highest level of, say, Stanford University to Dartmouth University, all the way down to Vallejo City in the Bay Area, that passed unanimously their school board last week to get rid of their mascot, known as the, Apaches. And so this movement has really got a shot in the arm from the proclamation of President Obama when he talked about the mascot being removed or it should be considered for removal. Other national sports figures, Bob Costas, well-known ESPN journalist. So the movement has taken a good turn for a lot of new blood coming into the movement, and especially on college campuses. Again, the students are finding a place for themselves in this movement.
Now, what do you say to young people that say, well, it's just it's a picture, it's a game, it really isn't serious, it has nothing to do with the way we feel about indigenous peoples or the American Indian movement or history? What more can you say about this?
Well, you have to look at the history of racism in America. At one time, it was okay to have slavery. Nobody thought it was wrong. And then to bring it into the mascot issue, and during the time of civil rights, we had one of the most popular cartoons in all theaters across America was Little Black Sambo. And so people felt that this was an embarrassment. This was something that had to be changed. And so Little Black Sambo left. Frito Bandito, he left when the Hispanic community started talking about stereotype images and racism. But it's only the American Indian who still, on a high level of professional sports, remains as a mascot. And I believe there's over 100 such mascots in the high school ranks here in the state of California. So we've got a lot of work to do, and this has been a long struggle. Like I said, Stanford, University of Oklahoma, Dartmouth, some very prestigious colleges have joined the fight and got rid of their mascot. It shouldn't be that big of a deal.
Have any of the players in the league spoken out?
Well, in past years, yes, some of the Washington football team players spoken out recently. I haven't heard any. Oh, but about your other question about this being maybe an insignificant issue. Well, if people don't have respect you on a basic issue of human respect, if you can't be proud to see the Indian people portrayed in a more positive light, if you accept the fact that someone can run around every time a touchdown dressed in some kind of wild regalia, which we teach our children as sacred feathers and sacred instruments, we see some guy running around acting like a fool, the chance to have a very, very damaging effect, especially on a very young youth who are taught to respect these items as sacred.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. We're speaking with Bill Means. He's a founder of the American Indian Movement, and he is on the international on the board of the International Treaty Council, has been for so many years fighting for indigenous rights, not only indigenous rights for folks in this country, but throughout this hemisphere. And that's a battle that really continues apace, doesn't it, Bill? It's a battle that has everything to do with the battle for civil rights, for migrant workers and immigrant workers, and the real battle for what has to be real, humane, so-called immigration reform. This is all a part of it, isn't it, Bill?
Oh, yes. I think it's part of the dehumanizing process that was used in many wars. I myself, being a Vietnam veteran, to see how the Vietnamese indigenous people were portrayed as primitive, as backward, who need the support of the United States to survive. And then we come home and we see how our relatives from the South, many of whom are Indian people, you know, there's over 80 million Indian people south of the U.S.-Mexico border. So many of those people that are coming across as migrants, we call them. We don't call them immigrants because they're only looking for a higher standard of living for their families. And they're only looking to come here, work temporarily, and then go home. Not unlike the Europeans who came when France offered us the Statue of Liberty that said, give me your tired, you're hungry, you're huddled masses. But yet when it's people of color, Hispanic, Indian people, all of a sudden they want to put up a fence, a border, a steel fence. They want to put up cameras. They want to militarize the border. These are relatives should be allowed to pass freely and welcome, just like white immigrants were during the early part of last century, in which they were even given our land. At least our relatives from the South aren't here to take our land. They're only here to do work that nobody else wants to do. So I think it's very appropriate that we address this issue here in this hemisphere and support our migrant families as relatives and not as some kind of illegal alien. Because we know heroin is illegal and E.T. was an alien. And these are our relatives. These are Indian people. So welcome to America.
Well, listen, Bill, we're looking forward to being with you on Thursday. And if people, what's the best way, if people want to find out more about this particular struggle to decolonize the Washington Redskins, how can they get more information? What's the best way to follow that struggle, and if they want to be a part of it, to join it?
Well, they can go on the website of the local American Indian Movement, a young man by the name of Antonio Gonzalez, who has a website called AIMovement.org and also AIMCollection.org. So you can go on those two websites and keep up with the movement as it progresses in this area of racial stereotypes, mascots, and remember that we're human beings, not mascots, for America's fun and games.
All right. Well, we're going to be with both of you young men on Thursday morning at 4 o'clock. We thank you, Bill Means. Again, we'll be with you on Thursday, and we're going to be talking to you soon. Be careful, and we'll talk to you soon. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio, and we're going to rebroadcast for you an amazing commentary that Miguel Gavilan Molina wrote in response to the killing of Andy Lopez, and we played it yesterday, got a lot of response, and I wanted you to hear it again. Mighty powerful work by Miguel Gavilan Molina, mixed by our own Mike Biggs. Listen to this.
10 seconds. Walking brown and proud down the sidewalk, chilling to the sounds coming through the earplugs, caminando, caminando.